Well, friends, several times over the past couple of years, Brother Mark Grillo has been a discourse speaker for us here in New Haven, and we're glad to have him returning. Brother Richard and Brother AJ are handing out some pass-outs that he has. So Brother Richard is taking this side of the auditorium and Brother AJ that side. So be on the lookout for a written handout that will go with Brother Mark's discourse. The title of Brother Mark's discourse for this morning is entitled Hope. So we look forward to Brother Mark's comments this morning, and we ask a blessing upon those this morning as well. Brother Mark?
Thank you, Brother Jonathan. Thank you, Brother Michael, for that prayer. And thank you, brethren in New Haven, for providing this privilege of being with you at convention today. On a typical Sunday, a Buick pulls off of Society Road to our meeting hall, and three golden women step out: Sister Josie, Sister Mary, and Sister Anna. Sister Josie, who used to serve the brethren by singing duets with her sister Mary, is reluctant to sing at all because she can't hear well enough to know if she is on key, and at meeting counts herself fortunate if she catches one-third of what is said. Sister Mary just had to move out of her apartment, the one she had been in for 30 years, because she was having difficulty making the stairs. Sister Anna, who not that long ago was told she needed to slow down when she walks, is aided into our meeting hall by an entourage of young people because her legs are so weak. Brethren, what does discouragement look like to you? Autumn in New England can be such a beautiful time with the cool air and the remarkably colored foliage. But with the increasingly shorter days in the impending cold and the bleakness of winter, to some, the beauty is overshadowed by the season around the corner. One sister expressed it, and I thought very well, that the thought of winter and all that came with it, that with every leaf that fell to the ground, her disposition, her whole countenance, fell just a little bit more. Brethren, what makes you discouraged? For me, it could be something in as unexplainable as looking at an older picture of my children and wondering where the time went. Our class was recently involved in two pretty heavy-weighted studies. On Sunday, we were looking at Revelations, and on Tuesday, we were in the midst of some deep first-volume studies. And one day, in the midst of our number crunching and our symbol deciphering, we realized a number of our brethren were having meltdowns. And we realized that we had a need to consider the subject of discouragement. We would like to share some of those gleanings with you today, as well as continue our study. You have a handout. It's more of a place to kind of keep some of your notes and to participate with what we're going to be talking about today. What does discouragement look like? On the back of your handout, you have a little sad face, and then you have this little happy star. I like the happy star. It almost can't help but smile when you see it. But what does discouragement, if somebody walked into the room, how could you tell if they were discouraged? Take a second and jot down some characteristics. Let's see if they match up with some of mine. Any suggestions? Tone of their voice. Excellent. Quiet.
Expression on their face.
The expression on their face. Maybe drooped more than normal. Out of control, grouchy, maybe angry. Out of balance, as was mentioned, sad or unhappy, the long face, the whole disposition down, tearful, quiet, confused. The way they walk, lost, alone, fearful, anxious, and unsettled. And the worst one, the one where we can't tell at all, because some people become very good at camouflaging their discouragement. What does courage look like on the other hand? Take a second, write some down. What does courage look like? Brother Austin.
Bubbling with energy.
Bubbling with energy. We can tell. What does courage look like? Confident. Good. And we could pursue this and say, what does confidence look like? Brother.
Hopeful.
Hopeful. Very good. Upbeat. Strong. Determined. You recognize determined. Kind of abstract, but you'd recognize determined. Focused, confident was said. Peaceful, content. One of our brethren in our study said, moving ahead with stuff, even though there was some adversity. What discourages us? What are some of the things that cause us to be discouraged? Let's make a list. You can join with me if you'd like on your little sad face down on the bottom of the paper. How about failure? Falling short. Missing the mark. Making mistakes. Doing something that you didn't want to do. Or saying something that you didn't want to say. How about loss? Brethren, we grieve, but not as others, but yet we still grieve. That empty hole feeling in the pit of your stomach and the throat that drops down into your chest. How about change? How about you? I don't like change. I don't deal well with change. I remember the old saying, and I think of it often. Just when I thought I knew all the answers, they went and changed all the questions. How about when things you expect don't happen? When things you expect don't happen. We might call that disappointment. How about when things you expect from others don't happen? Or even when things you expect from brethren don't happen? Poor health. How many are affected by poor health? And not only your own poor health, how about the poor health of those around us? Difficulty at work. Anybody have difficulty at work? We're put into situations where we need to interact with other people, sometimes being asked to compromise. Sometimes not all people are dealing with the same moral character that we are. How about lack of understanding? Sometimes this was a statement that was given to me, and I appreciate it. I feel like a 386 in a Pentium world. I'm always just one or two steps behind, especially when I'm dealing with things like a revelation study. I just can't hold it all in there. How about loneliness? Feeling left out. Does that cause discouragement? We have a room full of people here today. I would hope that nobody felt lonely, but it could be. Not connected. Aging. not being able to do what you used to be able to do. How discouraging is that? Where did it happen? It's like that picture of my children. When did it happen? When did it happen that I'm not able to walk those stairs? Not being able to hear as well as you used to. Not being able to see as well as you used to. How about financial? Working hard. Doing everything you're supposed to do. And yet there's still more bills than there is money. Or you're watching the people around you and they're able to do things that you're not able to do. One of the sisters in the class added this one. Things you expect God to do that don't happen. God didn't say everything was going to go our way. How about free time? No free time. Or not enough time in general to get done the things that you'd like to do. What is courage? I gave you a definition. It came from the dictionary. It came from the World Book Dictionary. You may like it, you may not. Your dictionary may have a different one. This dictionary said, courage is the quality of mind that enables one to meet danger without fear. Bravery, fearlessness. Sister Vicki read that and liked a little different twist. She said, how about the quality of mind that enables one to meet danger in spite of fear? Because there may be some legitimate fear. Courage applies to the moral strength that makes a person face any danger, trouble, or pain steadily and without showing fear. How about discouragement? Well, discouragement is to take away the courage of, or lessen the hope of, or confidence of, to prevent or hinder through fear and loss of incentive. Do we have scriptural examples of both of these? We do. How about discouragement? Well, I can think of a number of them. I think you could probably think of some to add to it. 2 Corinthians 12, 6 through 10. We deal with Paul's eyesight. Three times he went to the Lord to ask if maybe more of his eyesight could be restored. That was a discouraging thing for Paul. It was a thorn in his side. How about Saul in Israel fighting against the Philistines? Were they discouraged in 1 Samuel? Yes, they were. How about the spies when they went to scope out Canaan in Numbers 13? Were they discouraged? Most of them were. And how about the examples of courage that we have in the scriptures? How about in Genesis 39, 6 through 23? Where we have the account of Joseph in Potiphar's house, wrongly accused, put in jail, and yet he holds firm to his faith in God. How about the three Hebrew boys? We know them as Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego in Daniel chapter 3. Is that courage to be able to say, listen, we're not going to bow to your image. You can do what you want, and God may deliver us, he may not. But this is what we're going to do. That was courage. How about the centurion servant who said, you don't even have to come to my house. Okay, you say the word and they'll be healed. It'd be nice to spend time and go through those accounts. The one account that we are going to take time to go through is in Matthew 14. If you would turn with me, Matthew 14 verses 22 through 31. Because in a way, it deals with both sides of the issue. And straightway, Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him unto the other side. While he sent the multitudes away, and when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray, and when the evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them, walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, it is a spirit. And they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, be of good cheer. It is I. Be not afraid. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto you on the water. And he said, come. Here's our example of courage. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But what happened? But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, this is Peter, who attempted to walk on water, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? Well, brethren, this is the turning point of our discussion this morning. So far, at best, we have defined discouragement and maybe been somewhat negative. It would be here that I might say, come on, you have nothing to be discouraged about. You know God's plan. You have been in the way for so long. Snap out of it. Have faith. And there's the key. We just walk away, and now we feel better. Not so. That's like if you're anxious, for instance, about public speaking. If you're anxious and somebody says, don't be anxious, you'll do fine. and we might even quote scripture that says, be anxious for nothing. Or, be not overcome by the cares of this world. And it just doesn't do. I'm reminded of this a couple of scriptures in James chapter 2. They're verses 15 and 16. Try to remember these. They go like this. It says, if a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, depart in peace, be ye warmed and filled. Notwithstanding, ye give them not those things which they are needful to the body. What doth it profit? So in our communion, if we just say, have faith, have a good day, have we really helped? So with this in mind, here, Lord willing, is a to-do list for discouragement. And it's been field-tested. In education, when we have a new curriculum, we send it out to the schools and we let them try it, and then we see where it worked and where it didn't work. This has been field-tested. It worked for me. I feel like one of those commercials for hair loss, but it did. It worked for me. So sit up straight. We're going to start to look full of courage. Sit up straight. Take hold of your Bible, and let's talk about courage, and let's talk about hope. You know what amazes me? A light year amazes me. 160,000 miles per second. Per second. 160,000 miles per second. Okay? There are 31,536 seconds in a year. You know how far light travels in a year? In our closest star, Alpha Centauri, is four light years away. There are hundreds of thousands of light years from one point to another in this universe. Who created that? You know what else amazes me? Go in the other direction. In a penny, there is estimated 2 times 10 to the 22nd copper atoms in a penny. They're small. They're extremely small. That's lots of zeros and decimal points. They're extremely small. Who created that? You know what else amazes me? Is Hebrews 12:7 that tells us that God deals with us, as Brother Michael mentioned in his prayer, as sons, not as servants, as children. We have a relation, not as servants, as children, with the creator of this universe. I remember in middle school, I'm there now too, why I can't figure that out, but middle school is a crazy time. and I was kind of a smaller person. I know you'll find that hard to believe, too. But there were times where I was fearful to move through the halls because of intimidating people. And you always felt a little more comfortable when you had somebody big that you were walking with, you know, a friend. You know, or for me, it might have been my cousins when we were outside of school. I always felt kind of comfortable. Brethren, you have the creator of the universe by your side. There should be nothing that comes close to discouraging us. For those of you that are youngsters, if you're not in Sunday school yet, remember what Junior Asparagus says. He says, God is bigger than the boogeyman. Got five things that we can use to help fight discouragement. Be easy to remember, because how many stones did David take to fight Goliath? Took five. I don't know if there's a connection. I don't know if you can see those. Oh, maybe there. I'm going to spend a little more time on the first one. The first one is keep your eye on the goal. Remember the story about Peter? When did he start to fall? It's when he started to look around him at the storm. When he got distracted. When his mind was not on the Lord. Okay? That's when he began to get discouraged. Obstacles are things we see when we take our eyes off the goal. Obstacles are things we see when we take our eyes off the goal. That's not a scripture. Here is the key to fighting discouragement. Post-its. Post-its is the key, and it's scriptural. It's right. It's in Deuteronomy 11, and it's in 18, 19, and 20. It says, therefore shall ye lay up these my words in your heart and in your soul, and bind them for a sign upon your hand, that they may be as frontlets between your eyes. And ye shall teach them your children, speaking of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up, and thou shalt write them on post-its in thine house. Okay? No, that's not, it doesn't. It says, and thou shalt write them upon the doorposts of thine house and upon thy gates. But the post-its idea is not a bad one. Keeping your focus on the goal. Psalm 23, verse 4. Yea, though I walk through the shadow of the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. For with God, nothing shall be impossible. Refrigerator art, the mirror in the bathroom, the door leaving the house. Keep your eye on the goal. Blessed 2 Corinthians 3 and 4. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforteth us in all our tribulation. And it goes on. A personal favorite, Romans 8:31. What shall we say then to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? The creator of the universe is on our side. Who can be against us? Keep it in front of us, because it's when we forget that we get discouraged. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace. I hear brethren finishing these as I'm going. This is wonderful. Whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. Trust ye in the Lord forever, for in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. One of my favorite chapters, Psalm 46. You're probably already beginning to recite it. The beginning. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Not a sort of present, He's busy with other things. A very present. He is there waiting to help us when we're discouraged. And I love the way it begins to tie up in verse 10. Be still and know that I am God. Know that I'm the creator of this universe. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say rejoice. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. And lastly, beloved, don't think it strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing has happened unto you, but rejoice, inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. One of the things when we were making the list of what causes us to be discouraged was disappointment. A brother in our class noted that if you change one letter, the first one, change the D to an H, from disappointed to his appointment. Disappointment to his appointment. Study. There are five, by the way. The five are, I'll give them to you ahead of time just so you might have them in your notes. Study. Keep your eye on the goal. Study. Pray. Sing. And fellowship. Study. Reread the stories of the Bible heroes. Go back to the basics. Is David and Goliath a children's story? When David says, then said David to the Philistine, this was Goliath, thou comest to me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield, but I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. This day will the Lord deliver thee into mine hand, and I will smite thee and take thine head from you. How about Daniel and the three Hebrew boys? How about Israel in the wilderness? How about Elijah and the prophets of Baal? I mean, it almost reads comically when Elijah says, speak louder. Maybe your gods are sleeping. Embark on a new and challenging study. The manna text from February 28th comes from Psalm 32:8. It says, I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eye. In the comments begin this way. One of the most important lessons for the spiritual Israelite to learn is to look to the Lord for leading in all of life's affairs. Never to attempt any undertaking, either temporal or spiritual, without seeking to note the will of the Lord concerning the same. Brethren, we live in a bold and fear-filled and discouraging time. Our paper said it was a season of hope. Unfortunately, above it, it said a politician was convicted for crimes. This is all around us. It's on the TV. It's in the news. I have a suggestion and a challenge. Make note of every quarter hour you spend watching TV and reading the news. Spend an equal amount of time in the scriptures, listening to a tape, reading your Bible, reading your other literature. Spend an equal amount of time. Think of it naturally. If we submerge ourselves with this, it's got to have an effect. We need to counterbalance this. Pray. If we are discouraged, we need to pray more. Set time aside to visit with God, your Heavenly Father, in prayer, and quietly and peacefully wait and listen for a response. Hebrews 4:16 says, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace. Boldly. I still, and I'm getting older, if I have to go to the principal's office for anything, I feel it doesn't feel right. Not that I spent a lot of time there when I was younger, but it still doesn't feel right. God, remember the creator of the light year and of the little tiny proton in the atom, okay, says, come boldly before the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. We are to be instant in prayer and pray without ceasing. In Ephesians chapter 6 is the familiar set of scriptures that instructs us to put on the entire armor of God. Okay? And normally, we think of about six items in the armor of God. Let's read this passage. It says, put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against big things, principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God. Here we have it. That ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. Stand therefore, and having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. There is an additional step. It says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. There's that communication. Just yesterday we went to a football game, and the coach, the coaches on the field, they have their headphones on. They're talking to somebody with a greater perspective about what's going on the field. That's what we need to do, brethren. We may be ready. We may have our shield and our sword and our entire armor, but we need to have that communication. Learn hymns and sing them. Start with your blessings, okay? And you can just say them to yourself, but learn them, brethren. When upon life's billows you are tempest-tossed, when you are discouraged, thinking all is lost, count your many blessings, name them one by one. Are you ever burdened with a load of care? When you look at others with their lands and gold, think that Christ has promised you his wealth untold. So amid the conflict, whether great or small, do not be discouraged. God is overall. How about what a friend? What a friend we have in Jesus. What a privilege to carry everything to him in prayer. Have we trials and temptations? Is there trouble anywhere? We should never be discouraged. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Are we weak and heavy laden, cumbered with a load of care? Can we find a friend so faithful who will our sorrows share? I read a statement not too long ago. It says, Christian song is the overflow of the Christian heart. If our hearts are full, our singing will be full. Fellowship. Forsake not the gathering of yourselves. Provoke one another to love and good works. The strong need to bear the infirmities of the weak. Even the world recognizes the value of group support. Brethren, we need to think outside ourselves. We need to be connected with people who are fighting the same fight. Remember the cup game we used to do with two cups and a wire? Wasn't a very fun game if all of that was one directional. Every now and then you like to put it up to your ear and hear what the other person is saying back. It flows both ways. We need to reach out, and we need to reach out to our brethren to help us. Doctrines should motivate us to action. Discouragement says Things are not going as planned. Poor me. I deserve better. Life is not fair. I wish things could be different. The doctrine of the sin offering says we are called to be joint heirs with the Creator's only begotten Son. We have the opportunity to follow His example of sacrifice to benefit the whole world of mankind, to be real helpmates with Jesus Christ our Lord. What could we possibly be discouraged about when we realize that each and every experience we have, the ability to work out our salvation, all things work together for good for them who love God. So each and every experience that we have, comfortable or not comfortable, is an opportunity for growth to our new creature. Each and every experience we have is also an opportunity to show our deep devotion and love for our Heavenly Father. Each and every experience we have is an opportunity for us to show our thankfulness to God for all He has done for us. And making these doctrines real can have a real effect on our attitudes. How much do we really believe that we are a part of them? Brethren, those are the five things that I think we need to be careful about spiritually. Five things that we can actually, tools, stones that we can take to fight the Goliath discouragement. Now, on top of that, there are a couple of other things. Our body is what's holding our new creature right now. We need to take care of that body. If we're feeling discouraged, three more things to add to your temporal body. Eat well, exercise well, and sleep well. And this is not a medical seminar, so we're not going to spend a lot of time on that. But if you are what you eat is an adage that has some merit. If we put crummy stuff into us, it's not going to allow our organs to work the way they're supposed to. So eat well. If we eat well and we exercise well, we should sleep better. Now, I know that doesn't always hold true. But if we are careful about what we eat, careful about exercising well, then we should sleep well, and we will have a more balanced existence. You're probably down on your last bullet point on the front side of the handout. Things that you can do for your discouraged brethren. Brethren, please do not say, "Don't be discouraged." You can't help it. Sometimes you just can't help it. Please don't explain why you might be more discouraged. Okay? James chapter 2, 15 and 16, which we read, says we need to provide those brethren who share with us their discouragement something that will be helpful to them. Remind them of the goal. Connect with them by phone or mail or email. I love those Day Spring cards. Those you almost can't, just like that star that's on your paper on the other side. You almost can't help but smile when you see it. Here's a card. It says, "Press on." Just a little encouragement. It says, "You can do it. Hang in there." Okay? You receive something like that, and it makes you feel a little better. Include those who you discern feel left out. Include them in what you're doing. Who is not encouraged by Sister Helen's hugs? Now, I haven't seen Sister Helen here today. But when you get that warm hug and that big smile, who is not encouraged by it? Hug your brethren. Brethren, I think I'm closing a little bit early. But discouragement is a crummy feeling. I so much hope that these thoughts might be a real help. I opened with a reference to Sister Josie, Sister Mary, and Sister Anna. Their example is not one of discouragement, but a grand example of courage. Note that I stated, not that they stayed home, but they were coming into the meeting. That is courage. That is hope. You folks have a mission. You did not have time to be discouraged. So get to it, and God be with us.
Thank you very much, Brother Mark. I think we started a little bit early, so we appreciate your thoughts on replacing discouragement with hope. And the scriptural examples that you gave us are a very good guideline for us. So thank you very much, Brother Mark. One of Brother Mark's post-its up here says that our closing hymn will be 340. Hymn 340, count your blessing. He's got post-its all over here and some geology examples as well. So hymn 340, we'll ask Brother Mark to close. Then we have intermission, where I'm sure there'll be a lot of fellowship between 10:45, and we will regather at 11:15. So, friends, hymn 340, and we'll ask Brother Mark to close. Count your blessings, and he did encourage us to sing boldly.
Father in heaven, we continue now in your presence, grateful for this day of convention and for our being able to gather here with our brethren. Father, in our discouragement, we draw close to you and pray that you will give us the strength to hold on to the promises that you've given to us. Help us to recognize and to learn more of those promises and to hang on to them to give us strength in those times when we lose focus of the goal. So now, Father, we leave the remainder of this day in your care, praying all these things through Jesus' name. Amen.